We're in John chapter 5, and last week we read through verse 18 in John chapter 5, and I'm going to back us up a little bit to verse 15 just to get the context again of this passage. There was a man that Jesus healed. It was on the Sabbath, and when he finally found out who had healed him, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Now, they had the Ten Commandments that they were trying to obey and the rest of Scripture, and the Sabbath was to be held as holy and not to do any work on the Sabbath. And they had a long list of things that they had figured out was work. These are the things you don't do, and it honors God. And they had really missed the point of what the Sabbath was. And so Jesus answers them in verse 17. He says, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And they got it right. Jesus' words, when he was calling God Father, he was claiming that prerogative, that he was the Son of God, the unique Son of God, and himself God. And so they understood him correctly. And in their view, that was blasphemy. It was contempt upon a holy God. And so they were persecuting him and would later seek to kill him because of what Jesus claimed to be. If it were false, Jesus' claim, then they would be right to persecute him. But Jesus' claim of divinity, being the Son of God, he will go on to show why it is true. And we see through Scripture the marks of authenticity in Jesus' words and his actions. And through the disciples afterwards, as they followed Jesus, we see that his words were true. So he's going to counter their claim that it's contempt upon God's character, his claims. But we can also look at other things that Jesus is addressing, because quite a few years ago, someone that I care deeply for had a view that, well, I can just go directly to the Father. I don't need Jesus as a middleman. And I spent time talking with him and trying to share that Jesus was more than just a middleman and why we needed Jesus. And at that time, that's not where he was at. He was still thinking. He wasn't trying to minimize Jesus. He didn't want to say, you know, Jesus is nothing, but he just felt, I can go directly to the Father. I think Jesus addresses that here as well in John chapter 5. So we'll take a look at this. We begin at verse 19. What Jesus is saying. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. So Jesus said to them, this is the ones who are persecuting him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming that when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. As we look at this passage, we see the authority of Jesus and his claims about this authority. And John, in recording the words of Jesus, we see that there's kind of this rotation of thought that Jesus is talking about. He does what the Father does. He has life in himself, and he has been given judgment of all things. And it kind of rotates around in this. So let's take a look first at Jesus only does what the Father does. So in his claim that the Father and he have this intimate relationship as Father and Son, and therefore Jesus is divine, he says that he only does what the Father does. And he says the Son can do nothing on his own. Part of that can do nothing is he presumes to do nothing on his own. And that's the passage that Joyce read from Philippians. Is Paul is saying that even though Jesus was fully God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, held on to tightly, and to use it. But he emptied himself. And so that's part of what the Son can do nothing. He doesn't choose that prerogative. The other is he's saying that as the Son, he is so tied to the Father that he relies upon the Father for everything. There is that connection that just cannot be broken at all. And it has to do with Jesus' very nature itself. He is nothing. He can do nothing. He has nothing outside of the Father. So he can do nothing on his own. And it says the Father loves the Son and shows the Son what he is doing. We have the beauty of that relationship shown here. Jesus is saying, you know, it's not just he's an obedient Son. He says the Father loves the Son. And we know that the Son loves the Father as well because he's seeking to please him. But Jesus is saying to those who are adversarial, look, the Father loves me. And he shows me all that he's doing. This special relationship of love and of revealing all that he is and what he does. And so we're seeing this incredible love the Father has for his Son. And then Jesus describes the love for the Father by saying this: the Son seeks the will of the Father who sent him. What greater love could there be than to do the will of his Father? He's expressing his love by doing the Father's will. Now I remember years ago, I'm trying to think if Josh was 4 or 5 years old, and on Sunday mornings, this was at another church, I would wear khaki pants and then my blue shirt like I'm wearing now, and a tie and a coat, and Josh wanted to dress like that when he went to church. And he wanted to be like me when he went. He saw that, and And that honored me by him wanting to emulate me. Jesus is saying that he seeks to do the will of the Father. He wants to do all the Father is doing because it honors the Father. It expresses the love for the Father. What a beautiful relationship that they have, Father and Son. For us, we look at that and we can apply this to our relationship with God through Christ. And we can say that when we're doing what Jesus does, and we're called to follow Jesus because he's the clearest expression of God, when we follow what Jesus says, we hear his word, we obey it, then we are doing the Father's will. We're honoring the Father by doing what Jesus does. That's an amazing thing to think about. So for us, our faith in Christ honors both the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father. This passage also gives us incredible theology, our view of God and of Christ about life. What is his life wrapped up in? Where does it come from? And so Jesus says this, that just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. And then in verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, that is the Father, has eternal life. So that life is tied into the Son and the Father. And then in verse 25 and 26 says, those who hear will live. They're hearing the voice of the Son of God. For as the Father has life in himself, so God the Father has life in himself. God is eternal. He has always existed. There was never a time that God didn't exist. That's just another way of defining God. God has always existed and always been powerful. He says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he, the Father, has granted the Son also to have life in himself. So the Son has life in himself. He is co-eternal with the Father. This is important because what it tells us is that there was never a time that the Son didn't exist. There was never a time that the Son didn't have life. Utterly unique. It isn't as though Jesus only began to exist when he was born or his conception. It wasn't even Jesus was the first act of creation. Jesus always existed. The Son is co-eternal with the Father and has life in himself, has always had life. Now, this is very important because how we view Jesus and who he is vital to understanding faith and why the claims of Christ and why we gather as Christians and we do things in the name of Christ, why we pray in the name of Christ, why our faith is in Christ. It is wrapped up in this, that he is the Son of God in this unique way, that he is co-eternal with the Father. He has always existed. He is divine. And he is not just another prophet or another teacher or just a good man. But he is God. And it says, all who hear his word, that's the word of Jesus, and believe the Father, so it's tied in with the Father, have eternal life. Now, this is important because it means that this eternal life that we have is because of Jesus and the Father, who both have life in themselves. So they have the power to give life. And we hear his voice, which is another way that Jesus is expressing that when you hear and you follow, it means you're having faith. You're trusting in the voice of Jesus. You're following him. And when you do that, and you believe the Father, and you're believing the Father because of the voice of Jesus, because what he hears and what he sees is from the Father. So when we hear and believe, we have eternal life. And this life, again, comes from the one who can give it, because he has life in himself. And this life has the power to raise the dead. So at the final judgment, those who are dead are raised. And Jesus has the power to do this. And it says in verse 25, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, those who hear will live. The voice. Jesus speaks. It's the way creation came into being. And God said, let there be, and it was. It's what Jesus did often when he healed. It's what he did with Lazarus. When Lazarus was dead, and he was in the tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he was raised from the dead. There will come a time when the dead will hear the voice of Jesus and be raised. And Jesus has the power to do this just by his word. So when we listen, when we believe the word of Jesus, which he saw and heard from the Father, we experience life. We have eternal life. We've talked about this in the Gospel of John and indeed throughout the New Testament. When it talks about eternal life, it isn't just talking about length of life. It's talking about our quality of life. And so those who have trusted in Jesus, those who have given their hearts to God, this quality of life throughout eternity of being in the presence of the Lord, no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no wars, but only love and joy and peace forever and ever. So that's eternal life. All is at rest, all is at peace, all is good, the fullness of joy. The love the Father has for the Son and the love the Son has for the Father will be fully experienced. And that's part of eternal life. And so we experience this eternal life in part right now. When we believe, we begin to experience that life. Not yet, because there is still the corruption of the flesh. There is still sin and the things that divide us in this world. But those things will pass away. But we are able to have this life because Jesus has life in himself. And so when he submitted himself to death, he had the power to take life up, his life, and to raise his life up so that we can experience life. That's why all of this hinges upon the divinity of Jesus, his utter uniqueness as the Son of God. For it is in his life, because he is co-eternal with the Father and has life in himself, that he is able to give us life. The third thing that Jesus expresses here that's very important is that the Father has given to him all judgment. Verse 22 says, the Father judges no one. That's really a fascinating thing to think about. The Father is not the final judge, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The Father wants us to honor His Son just as He is honored. The way to do that is to give the Son an ultimate position, and that is judge. There is nothing more ultimate than the one who can decide our fate in the end. The judgment for those who have trusted in Christ to go into eternal life with Him, and for those who have chosen not to, to go into judgment and to be expelled from the presence of God. Jesus is that final judge. The Father granted Him that position so that everybody could see that Jesus has this ultimate authority over all of creation. And so seeing that would honor the Son. And we think about in our human lives, our families, and if someone honors our children, we feel a sense of honor as well. If someone is dismissive of our children, we feel dismissed. The Father wanted everyone to know how much He delighted in the Son and how much authority the Son had. And so He is judge. And then there is this sense of not honoring the Son is being dismissive of the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. It's verse 23. Coming back to the person who had the view that we don't have to have Jesus as a middleman, that we can just go to the Father. Father can love us. It's missing out on that element of understanding who Jesus is, that is that He is divine, He has life in Himself, that He does the will of the Father, and that all judgment, all ultimate authority is given over to the Son, and the Father has done that. And so the Father says, if we want access to Him, we understand the chain of command. Who's the authority that we have to go through? And it is His Son, so that all can honor Jesus. And Jesus is more than just a middleman. He is the way. He is the sacrifice for us, and then He is the judge. So all judgment has been given to Jesus. And Jesus says that His judgment, His own judgment, is just, it's right, it's perfect, because He seeks the will of the Father. You see, we come back to that first point of Jesus only does what the Father does, and that He wants to see what the Father is doing and honor the Father and to do the will of the Father. And as the final judge, His judgment is perfect, completely just, because He's seeking to honor the Father, not Himself, as judge. Application for us in our personal lives, and also as we think about family and friends and the rest of the world, is to take seriously, very seriously, the claims of Jesus, the nature of good and evil, and to understand that as God, as the ultimate judge, sees things far differently than we do. We think there's a lot of gray area, or we think evil is just the horrible people that are out there killing people, torturing people, selling people into slavery, whatever it might be. Those are the evil people. We find in God's word that simply not honoring the Son is dismissive of the glory of God and therefore is not good. And if it's not good, it is evil. And so we want, for ourselves and for the people we care about and for all the world, we want them to take these things seriously as well and to understand that there is a final judgment to eternal life or to eternal judgment. And we want for ourselves and for others to choose life, life that is found in Jesus, the one who submitted himself that we might have life, the one who has life in himself that gives life to us, and Jesus, who is the final judge, so that when we come before the judgment seat, we know that the judge is also our Savior, and we have put our hope in him. And so we desire that for ourselves, but again, not just for ourselves, but for all those around us. For those who don't see a distinction about Jesus, maybe just see him as a good guy, or even the Son of God, but there are other sons of God. Or maybe they just say, hey, all religions lead to the same place. See, those are all ways that diminish who Jesus is. And in the end, if we do not honor the Son, we simply do not honor the Father. And so our desire is to draw people into the beauty and the glory of the Son, of who Jesus is. It is the calling of the church. It is the calling that we have, and a privilege to share the hope that we have in Christ. Let's pray. What an amazing thing this relationship, Father and Son, beyond our understanding. And so we seek to understand more of what this means. And that Jesus' divinity impacts our lives. So give us eyes to see, ears to hear, that we might follow Jesus and so honor the Father. Give us a heart for all of those around us, that they too would honor Jesus and love Jesus and find life in Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.